The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. To you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. For me, it's the smell of sweet tea that my friend Sarah always seemed to have brewing when I walked through the door of her house. It's the smell of the flowers I carried in my wedding. It's the smell of the air and the trees and the dirt whenever I stepped out of my car at my grandmother's house in Vermont. What smell is it that brings you back to somewhere in your past? Is it the smell of the cookies your mother used to bake? Or perhaps the scent of the perfume your grandmother used to wear? Maybe the smell of the leather of the glove you wore when you played catch with your dad. You could be going about your day, business as usual, and come across one of these smells, a smell that transports you back to a memory from another time. When you smell those smells again, you don't just remember something that happened, but just for a moment, as your brain processes that scent again, it's as though you're there, all over again. Scientists speculate that this strong connection between scent, emotion, and memory could be related to our anatomy, that the place that smells are processed in our brain, the olfactory bulb, is connected to the amygdala and the hippocampus, where emotion and memory are processed. Studies with fMRI scans have shown, for example, that someone who has an emotional memory connected to a rose will show much greater brain activity when given a rose to smell than they will from looking at a picture of a rose or by hearing the word rose spoken. There is research being done on the positive effects of these powerful scent memories in those who suffer from memory loss, anxiety, depression, as well as conditions such as high blood pressure and insomnia. Scent-based recollection of positive memories has the potential to have a significant impact on overall well-being. A smell that we associate with a positive memory can bring us right back into the experience and help us to feel like we did in that moment. And there are times that we need that kind of a powerful reminder. I think that Mary of Bethany knew something about this intuitively, even if the studies that would back it up would not happen for many years to come. Scent plays a significant role in the gospel story this morning, in which Mary kneels before Jesus and anoints his feet, not with a dab of oil, but with a ridiculous amount of oil. 300 denarii's worth of oil, an amount of money that would have been a whole year's salary for someone at that time. Mary pours it all out, and the gospel says that the scent was so powerful, it filled the whole house. Unlike in Luke's gospel, where this action is performed by an unnamed sinful woman, in John's gospel, it is Mary of Bethany, sister to Martha and Lazarus, all of whom are Jesus' dear friends. Word of the raising of Lazarus from the dead has spread, and the verses directly after this story make it clear that it is this act, Jesus' final sign in the Gospel of John, that was the final straw for the temple authorities who wanted him dead. They would come looking for Jesus and for Lazarus to silence them for good. It is in this moment of tension and fear that Mary falls to Jesus' feet and pours out this abundance of fragrant oil. If you've ever had fragrant oil on your skin, you'll know that its scent lingers far longer than any alcohol-based perfume would last. Can you imagine how long the scent of all that oil that Mary poured out must have lasted? After it was not just poured onto Jesus' feet, but rubbed in with Mary's hair. How long the scent would have stuck around with Jesus and Mary both, without shampoo or body wash to help remove it and break down the oil. If I had to guess, I think that the fact that the scent would linger was precisely the point. Jesus connects this oil with the oil that would be used to anoint him at his burial, but Mary doesn't wait for his burial. She pours it on him now. Why? In the Hebrew scriptures, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed as they assumed the roles to which they had been called. What strikes me is that in any of the circumstances in which a person was anointed, assuming these roles or as they faced death, it was done as a sign of God's presence with the anointed. An act that would give them courage and perhaps a sense of peace in the trials that they would inevitably face. Prophets, priests, and kings were anointed, but Mary is not anointing Jesus as one of these things. She anoints him as all of these things and so much more. For the word Messiah means the anointed one. And her anointing is a profession of her full faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the one they have waited for. And she doesn't just anoint him a little. She pours out a whole jar full of faith that he is the Messiah. She anoints him to show her faith, and the fact that he lets her is significant too. He is showing his acceptance of his role and the suffering that lies ahead. And he is not anointed by the powerful or one in religious authority, but by a woman with no power, a woman with no authority, a woman who was his friend, the closest thing he had to family. And I think this is important too. I think that Mary wanted to remind Jesus in the days ahead that God was with him all the way. And the oil that was poured out on his feet by his dear friend would serve to remind him that he is loved and that his friends would be with him all the way. Did the smell of all that oil linger with Jesus through the next week? The next day when he made his entry into Jerusalem with palms waving? when he gathered his disciples for one last supper and knelt down before them, just as Mary had done for him, and washed their feet. Jesus did not let Peter wash his feet, and so the scent remained. Did the scent linger in the Garden of Gethsemane, at his arrest, at his trial before Pilate as he hung there on the cross? Could he smell the fragrant oil even then? And did it bring Jesus back to that night when Mary poured so much oil on his feet and wiped it with her hair? As he caught its scent, did it assure him that God was with him and how deeply he was loved, even in these, the darkest moments of his earthly life? And Mary, whose hair was surely saturated with that fragrant perfume, did it remind her too that God was still with her, that her love for her friend would endure even as she watched this friend, whom she knew to be the Messiah, suffer and ultimately die? We who know the end of the story know that she did not hope in vain. Tradition places Mary among the myrrh bearers who brought spices and fragrant oil to the tomb to anoint Jesus one more time. But she would not need the scent of her oil and spices to remind her of the presence of God, of the love of her dear friend, because when she arrived at the tomb, there he stood before her, fully God, fully man, fully alive. The feet she had anointed still bearing the wounds from which he poured out his blood, an act not so different from Mary's, a willing offering of all that he had to show us that God is with us even in the worst suffering we could ever know, that we are loved even when we think all have abandoned us. The story of Mary anointing Jesus' feet is a sacramental story, and not just because we use perfumed oil in some of the sacraments of the church, but because it shows us how objects in our regular life can communicate the presence of God and God's love for us. Not just oil or bread or wine or water that we use in the church, but these serve as physical reminders of the things in our lives that communicate the presence of God, that reveal God's love for us, like sweet tea and flowers and Vermont air and trees and dirt and cookies and perfume and the soft leather of a well-worn glove. These scents that take us back can be for us reminders that we are in the presence of a God whose love for us is shown in the people with whom we share our lives and in the everyday objects and circumstances of our lives. This love is a love that lasts longer than the most fragrant oil, the scent of which fills a whole house. This love is a love so abundant that not even death could overcome it. What are the things in your life that reveal this love to you, that help you to recognize the presence of God? My hope for you this Lent, and as we approach Easter, is that you would find those things in abundance, so much so that it fills your whole house. Amen.